Lord, grant that the thoughts we continue to share together will become your word for each of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once, long ago, back in the 1960s, God called me into the ministry. You remember the 1960s, or at least if you don't, you've heard about that era. The Beatles, gas-guzzling cars, the first color TVs, LSD, Flower People, and Bob Dylan. And in the early 1960s, God called me, as they say, into the ministry. How did I know it was God, you ask? And what does it mean to be called into the ministry? We'll begin with the first question. I knew it was God because he had previously called me once already. He had called me that time to be a follower of Jesus. It happened on a Sunday afternoon, the summer I turned 14. Totally unexpected it was. I was reading some old Sunday school papers I'd happened upon, and suddenly I knew I was in the presence of God. Over the next few minutes, I recognized my life was not all that God wanted it to be. And then, right at that moment, God was inviting me to turn my life over to him. So that was the story, except for my answer. My answer, my response to that question was yes. I told God, yes, you can have my life. I was not sure why I told him that, and I had no idea where it would lead me, but I do remember the yes. That answer made me, for the first time in my life, a real follower of Jesus. It also changed my life forever. The adventure had begun. So, what happens next when you become a follower of Jesus? My discovery time was just beginning. I started reading Jesus' story in the Bible. For the first time, I began to listen to the sermon in church instead of daydreaming and planning out my Sunday afternoon. That's me right there. I gave up doing some things I should not have been doing. I started to do some things that I should have been doing all along instead. But one part of my life did not change. From about age 10 or 11... I had been passionate about electronics. I'd been taking an adult-level electronics course by correspondence since age 12. My life's career was already carved in stone. But then, about 2 years after first becoming a real follower of Jesus, I sensed God speaking to me again. And this time, it seemed, he wanted me to become a minister. And I must tell you, the thought of becoming a minister had never once crossed my mind. In fact, if I had listed all of the possible vocations that I might have chosen, electronics would have been at the top of the list, and being a minister would have been at the very bottom. But I did realize at the outset that it must be God speaking to me, because I could never have thought up such a foolish idea on my own. Consider, if only God had thought to first ask my opinion, instead of telling me what I was supposed to do, calling me to something, I could have told him, could have explained that I never could be a minister. That just wouldn't work. I would not be a good minister. And of course, God notwithstanding, my career path had already been decided upon. Case closed. And no, I would not change my mind. He would never make me a minister. There came a night when I was about 16 and couldn't sleep, when I did change my mind. After arguing for half the night, I finally said yes to God for a second time. I chose a different path. And from that day to this, I can say that I never once regretted my decision. That leads us to the second question. What is all this being called into the ministry stuff anyway? That question took me much longer to figure out, and the things I eventually discovered may surprise you. Here's my first discovery. In the Bible, the ministry is not named as a vocation. It's not a title for church leaders. There are no people called ministers in the early church. It's not interesting. In the beginning years of the early church, a church leader was never called a minister. But of course, over my lifetime as a minister, I was probably called the minister many times. Possibly the first time it happened was when my wife and I first arrived at our first church. We drove up to the manse in Harbour Grace, Newfoundland, where my first church was located. And a welcoming committee had gathered to greet us and things like that. And I overheard a member of the committee phone his wife and say this: "The minister just arrived. Come over and bring a sharp knife." That sounds a bit alarming, but it wasn't really. The welcoming committee had prepared a meal for us, but found they had nothing to cut a loaf of bread. So it wasn't that bad after all. However, in the New Testament, minister is never used to describe a church leader. Leaders are apostles, prophets, elders, pastors, lots of things, but never ministers. And when the word does appear in the New Testament, and it does appear from time to time, the word does appear sometimes, it's usually used as an action word, a verb. So to minister is to do something. What do you think it is that minister people are supposed to do? The root meaning of to minister is to serve. So ministers, if we go by the New Testament meaning, are not necessarily leaders. I'll start that again. The root meaning of to minister is to serve. So ministers, if we go by the New Testament meaning, are not necessarily leaders. Ministers are servants. And that must mean everyone who belongs to Jesus is a minister, because every one of us is called to serve others in different ways. Jesus took on the role of servant the day he washed his disciples' feet. People have been using the word minister in the wrong sense for a very long time now. So let's begin by using the word properly, beginning right now. So, maybe you never realized that you and I are both ministers. Congratulations. Jesus has a job for you. Which leads to the next question. What is your ministry? What is your ministry? Is it perhaps linked to your gifts that you've been given by God? Well, it could be that there can be a connection there sometimes, but not necessarily. Let me tell you a story. When I was in my second church in Quebec, I led a Cornerstone children's group, kind of like what happens here, and I would invite people to help me with it from time to time. One day I asked one of the mothers of the children, who was very talented in making crafts, if she could do a craft with the children, and she agreed. We ended up doing something called decoupage. Maybe you know what that is. We cut patterns out of paper and glue them on wood using glue that kind of dries like clear varnish. The children ended up with a really beautiful craft, and I was totally impressed. I was so impressed, in fact, that I decided that maybe I should ask this mother if she would mind helping us do crafts regularly. So I began by asking how she liked doing crafts with the children. That question was a mistake. The reaction was unforgettable. Normally quiet, polite, reserved, nice lady, both with me and with the children, she turned to me and almost shouted, "The children are driving me crazy." It was a memorable moment. Instantly, I realized that I should not invite her again. She did have a gift for crafts, but really, apparently, she did not have a gift for working with children. I must tell you that people over the years have often said to me that I have a gift for working with children. I'm not actually sure that that's true. Here's why. Some things we do because we have received a gift for it. Other things that we do, we just kind of learn them and put our mind to it and figure out what we need to learn. What I do think you need if you work with children is patience. And in my case, I realized a long time ago that children's ministry is important. And so I set out to decide to try to learn how to do it. As far as I can tell, whatever resulted from that was not a gift. It was just something that I learned to do. Which must mean there are different ways of ministering, different ways of serving Jesus. Some of them connect with the particular gifts that God has given us, but other ways do not. They're just things that we've been called to do or commanded to do, and we go out and learn how to do them. But not everything, of course, can be learned. For example, I have a friend, a retired Baptist pastor, who does not have a particular gift of music. He told me once that he appreciates the words of hymns, but he really can't tell the music of one hymn from another. They all sound pretty much the same to him. Now, I can't even imagine what it would be like to not be able to tell one hymn from another, but that's what he tells me. So, I don't claim to be a musician or musical. No one has ever actually asked me to sing, for example. But I can tell one hymn from another. My friend, therefore, has an excuse. If someone doesn't like his choice of hymns in a service sometime, he can say, "Music is not my gift." But if my friend were ever to be unkind to others, and he's not, but suppose that he was, he would have no excuse for his unkindness. Kindness is not a particular gift. Kindness is a gift of God's Spirit, and it's available to all of us. And so it's something that we're all commanded to do. So we can all ask for and receive God's gift of kindness and share it with others around us, and God will help us learn to express it. He can help us learn to be kind. So let's just see what we've learned so far. One, ministry is not just done by ministers. It's not supposed to even just be done by ministers. Two, every Christian has a ministry. I have one, and you have one. Three, ministry just means serving others. There are countless different ways to do that. We haven't yet looked at our scripture lesson for this morning, so let's do that right now, because everything we've said so far comes right out of the scripture that Brian read for us earlier. So let's listen to some parts of it again. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, which will come up, there it is. We have many parts in the one body, the church, and all these parts have different functions. We are all joined to each other as different parts of one body. So, we're all different. We all have different jobs to do, but no one is left without a job. No one is left without a job. We all have a ministry. We're continuing on to verse 6, which says, so, we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. In other words, God's grace allows each of us to use our different gifts to do different things, but all things we do are important. They are all important. Then, we come to a list of some of the gifts that God gives us to share. And we'll do one click here. The gift of, there we are, of speaking God's message, the gift of serving, the gift of teaching, the gift of encouraging others. The passage continues. Some people's gift is sharing with others. Do it generously, it says. And some people's gift is being in authority. People in authority should work hard, it goes on to say. And some people's gift is showing kindness to others. If that's your gift, it says, do it cheerfully. So that's quite a list. Do I hear anyone saying, there's nothing on that list that I can do? Anyone saying, nothing on that list that I can do? I'm listening, going once, going twice, gone. There is actually something there for everyone in the church. There is something there that you can do. There is something there that God is calling you to do. And that's exactly how it should be. Perhaps you're still wondering what your own particular ministry is. I have a suggestion for you to consider. Maybe, if God is speaking to you, maybe you could be one of a small group of people, maybe 6 or 8, who would commit themselves to a ministry of welcoming within this congregation. And I'm waiting for one the next slide. And there we are. Okay. Ministry of welcoming within the congregation. The object would be to warmly welcome and care for every single person who wanders in here as a guest or as a visitor. Ever thought of doing something like that? To truly welcome strangers is hugely important. In fact, it could be one of the most important ministries of this congregation. And doing that could well be costly. It doesn't happen by just putting up welcome signs outside. All churches put up welcome signs outside. Doesn't happen by smiling from across the room or even from shaking hands. It happens when you are able to move out of your own comfort zone to increase someone else's comfort zone. I'll just say that again. It happens when you are able to move out of your own comfort zone to increase someone else's comfort zone. It happens when you're able to meet someone else with no expectations of them, whatever, except the intention to love them as Jesus does. Doing this is not easy, but maybe, just maybe, God is calling a few of you this morning to a ministry of welcoming. If God is doing that, I expect that He may well be calling some people who are lifelong members of this congregation, but also some newly arrived people. I expect He would be calling both older people and younger people, people who have come in from other churches, and people with little or no previous church experience. All those people are needed in a ministry of welcoming, because collectively they will have the variety of backgrounds to relate to the variety of people that God may choose to bring here. And for one or two or a half dozen of you, this could be your particular ministry. this could be what God is calling you to do. God may be calling you to this particular ministry. If you believe that to be true, I have a suggestion. Mention it to Pastor Mike next Sunday, or to me today if you want, and I will pass your interest along to him. And then, see what he says. I expect that he will ask you to take that on as your ministry. I expect that he will be pleased. Last Sunday, Pastor Mike spoke about being a congregation that rolls out the red carpet to welcome people. He used that illustration at least 3 times. I'm thinking that this may be the sort of thing that he had in mind. Let's join in prayer. Father God, you call all of us to a particular ministry within the church and outside the church. Help us to hear what you're calling each of us to this day, and grant us the grace to go forth and live out our particular ministry in ways that truly bless others, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.